Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to everyone out there. This is Calvin Ward. I want to thank you for tuning into the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. And I want to thank you for listening. And tonight we have a couple of guests. So I want you to sit back. I want you to relax. And I want you to listen to the show. I want you to go to Facebook as well. You can invite a friend or you can come on to the chat and you can leave a message right there in the chat room. I want to thank you for tuning in again. Go back to Facebook if you can. Send a message and a link out. Invite someone else to listen to the show on tonight. And so right now, I want you to sit back and relax. When we come back right after this small break, we're going to get started with the show and we're going to get started with our first guest. So I want to thank you for listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast. Be blessed, sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Everybody,
This is Calvin Ward. I want to welcome you to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. If you are tuning in and listening tonight, we have two guests for your enjoyment on tonight. We have Pastor White from Elizabethtown from Suck. We have Pastor Holloway, Bryant Holloway from Racine, Wisconsin. And we have Roberts from Racine, Wisconsin as well. I want you to sit back, relax, and listen. Invite a friend who are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. This is your host, Calvin Ward. Well, I just want to thank you for listening. This is your host, Calvin Ward. If you are listening, I apologize for the beginning of this program. There's going to be, if people are listening to this program, it may be maybe a 10 or 13 minute wait. I'm going to go in and see if I can edit that program and get that off of there. But on tonight, we have a couple of guests that are scheduled. So for this first hour during the program, we have a guest that is scheduled, and we're going to wait for them to call in, but I want to go forth with a little bit of the announcement here. So before we do get started, we have here at pcjg-ministries.com. I would like for you to go to that website. If you have not had a chance to go there, please go to pcjg-ministries.com. If you go to their website and please just kind of look through the site, we have a link there that is for missions. Please click that. And please go there and check that out. We are planning to go to Africa and to give people an update on that. There's been a request, and we're going to look into that because there was an idea that came up to do some things. But we're going to look into kind of doing some creative things using the internet and using technology. The request to be able to teach and preach the word overseas, actually from right here using the computer by setting people up and being able to make a connection. So that was a suggestion. That's awesome. So that's an idea. We're going to look into doing that. If you are thinking about either donating or if you just want to get more information, your seed helps us to do that. We're looking into creating some technology packages, as I would call them. I think they're a wonderful idea. And somebody had mentioned that to me. I think technology packages are a wonderful idea to be able to equip ministries that are overseas with a link or with something that they can use to kind of preach the word and teach the word. So I think that would be a great idea. And if you would go to the link and you can go to the website, click that link and check that out. And so any donation that you send will help us greatly towards that. We're also in the process of linking up with a ministry, with a business that will help us as well. So as you promote the business, and as you can go to that business and, buy product, everything that you do with that business will help send us and support us as we go overseas. And for those of you that don't really know that much about what it is to go to Africa, the individual, if you want to go overseas, there's some research that you do concerning, Africa. And, you want to especially see if the nation is not on the blacklist for the United States. But on the same token, you just get your information on your country, do your research. A lot of us say we want to go overseas, but a lot of us do not have passports. Get your passport. You might get your visa before you go there. And then, you just schedule your trip, you budget, and then you connect with your point of contact. And you make sure that you're really doing everything that you need to do to be able to go to that country and be able to minister. So we want to make sure we do everything that we want to do. We want to take at least a 10-person team there, if at all possible. So that sets the goal high. It's about $30,000 to $50,000, and I think it's doable. So we want to thank you for your support. If you know anybody that would like to participate, please give them a call and please let them know and send them to the site so they will be able to participate in that. In addition, we want to thank you also for supporting the show. There is a magazine called Promoting Purpose Magazine. If you have ever heard of Promoting Purpose Magazine, if you've heard of it on Facebook, that's a great thing. If you have not heard of it, please take a minute to go to Promoting Purpose Magazine. Look it up online on the web. It is a wonderful Christian magazine. It features a lot of different articles and advertisements, and you can support them, and you can touch bases with them. And I know they would love your support. They have supported us in the past, and I know they do support right now. So we want you to go to their website and just touch bases with them and support their ministry, support the magazine, and just connect with them. You can connect with them on Facebook as well. Also, go to the website, connect with the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast via Facebook, as well as we are also on Twitter. So we want you to connect there. If you listen to Blog Talk Radio and you do not have an account with us, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and get an account. And in that account, if you find this radio show on your account, if you find the radio show on the account and you are there, if you find the radio show and you are there, then what will happen is you will be able to get the emails every time the show comes out, every time an episode is going to air, you will be able to get that message. So I want to thank you for that. So log into Blog Talk Radio, connect with us, and you'll get those messages. If you have a friend or anybody else, look, invite them and connect them in as well. And lastly, I want you to go back to the show. If this show has been a blessing to you, I want you to go back. I want you to connect with us and send us a message. Also, I would like you to go back, and we've had some shows in the past that have just been a blessing. I think they've been some of the best shows in just Christian education, period. They're some of the best messages that you could hear. The messages that we do hear sometimes with some of the interviewees that we have here, they are very deep. I thank God for the interviewees that we do keep here, and we're going to keep bringing you people that receive the fresh revelation from the Lord. But go back and check out the Order of Melchizedek. We have some empowerment sessions. We have an awesome segment that the Lord blessed, and regarding prayer. So I want you to go back. I want you to check some of those messages out, and they will really bless you. They will really help you. You can download any message that is here on the radio broadcast. You can download the message as MP3. You can burn it to CD. You can actually play it in your car. So for some of the messages that you didn't get all the meat to, you can download these messages, burn them on CD, and play them in your car. Now, I have done that, and I still do that every now and then, because sometimes you just want to be able to get the whole of the message. Sometimes you just want to be able to get it all. Sometimes you just cannot get it all in just listening to one session. So I just want to thank you for that. And that's the last of the announcements. If you are out there, you have a ministry, or you have a business, and you would like an announcement done here on the show, we'll do that for you for free. If you would just email us, send us a link to it, send us an email stating what you would like to do, and we will be more than happy to support you or your ministry. I want to thank you. You are tuning into the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast, and this is your host, Calvin Boyd. And on tonight, we have three guests, Pastor John White, Elizabeth Town, Kentucky. We have Prophet Archer and Pastor Gray, and Pastor Brian Holloman from Grace Team, Wisconsin. I want you to sit back. I want you to relax. I want you to stay tuned and be blessed. Go and invite a friend. And when we return,
let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. The word. The word.
Radio broadcast. I am your host, Calvin Ward, and I want to welcome you to tonight's show. We have three powerful guests for you, and we will get started with the show on tonight with Pastor White, who we have, and Pastor Bryant Holloway from Racine, Wisconsin, and we also have the Prophet Craig from Racine, Wisconsin. We want to thank you for listening and tuning in, and be blessed. Sit back, relax, and invite a friend. You are listening to the Teach Me Prophetic Radio broadcast, and I'm your host, Calvin Ward. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in and listening. If you are listening, Pastor White, how are you on tonight?
I'm well, thank you.
All right.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad we could still connect here and get on. And for people who didn't know, I started the show late, maybe about 13 to 15 minutes late. So I thank you for still calling in. I thank you for us still being able to connect here. That's an awesome thing. So let's just get started. Can you tell us, now you pastor a church right here, you're located in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Can you just tell us the name of your church that you pastor, and tell us a little bit about the church and your background, you know, the name of the church, you're a pastor there. I know a little bit about you, education or, married, and kind of how you came into the ministry.
Okay. Well, the name of the church is Fountain of Life Assembly of God, and we are located out towards Central Hardin High School on Bacon Creek Road, probably about a mile and a half, 2 miles from Central Hardin High School. And a little bit about the church is we're kind of a small church. We're an Assemblies of God church, and it used to be called New Life Christian Center. And about three and a half years ago, our district they ended up having to shut the doors on it. The church was not doing well. I think the former pastor was sick or had some things going on, and so they ended up having to shut the doors, and so they called and had a meeting with me and two other pastors and said, we'd like to know if you guys would be willing to pray about whether or not God wants you to reopen this church if it's able to reopen. And they had to figure out what the finances and the whole nine yards were for that church. And I told them straight out, I said, absolutely. I said, I don't believe God opens a church for it to close 20 years later. I think God wants churches to be churches and wants us to operate. And so that was in May, and in August we ended up opening the doors August 8th of 2008, and we've been there ever since, and it's been great. My background is I'm 22 years military, and from the time that I joined the Army all the way through, I've been involved in some sort of ministry here or there. Started out here 22 years ago at Radcliffe Assembly, the church that had the bus crash back in 1988. We were youth workers at that church and really enjoyed hanging out with the folks at Radcliffe First and got to know a lot of the people there. And then 1994, we ended up headed to Alaska, and we were,
oh, wow.
My wife and I served as youth pastors at North Pole Assembly, if you can believe that, and that was in North Pole, Alaska, real close to Fort Wayne right there, and that's a story in itself, but we had a great time, really enjoyed ourselves there. We spent 3 years there, then ended up going to Fort Rucker, Alabama, where I did some men's ministry and some things there. And then from there went to recruiting duty. And on recruiting duty, I had a pastor that wanted me to come and be his associate. It was a Church of God church. And so I went and was his associate for probably a year and a half or so. And then following that, I got a phone call asking me if I would come interim at a church that a good friend of mine, a pastor, he had a heart attack in, I think it was around July time frame. In November, I got a phone call asking me if I would come interim pastor that church while they were looking for another pastor. And I told him absolutely. And so I spent 9 months there, and that was just before the Army said, hey, it's time for you to move. And we ended up moving back here to Kentucky, the place where we started military and started ministry. And,
oh, wow.
You know, so 6 years after being here, we're 3 years into a church. And I'm going to tell you, it's been the most rewarding but the most challenging thing I've ever done in my entire life.
I hear that.
Even in 22 years of military. So that's kind of my background.
Well, that says a whole lot. So now I'm going to ask you, and that does say a whole lot, because you say even with that 22 years of military background, that pastoring a church still proved to be a not a complicated task, but I would say somewhat of a difficult task. I guess I would say it's some new experiences. So I'm going to ask you that. I'm going to ask you two questions. The first one I'm going to ask you, how so? How is pastoring a church different from, you know, the experience that you have had in your 22 years of military experience? And then I want to ask you, how did your military experience prepare you for ministry? So that's a twofold question. I guess you can go through the front door and the back door on that. How do you think that pastoring a church differs or has brought you new experiences that your military, you know, training has not prepared you for? And then on top of that, how does your military training prepare you for ministry?
Well, very good questions. The first thing I'd have to say is that although I spent 22 years in the military, in the United States Army, that never fulfilled me. When you have a calling of God on your life, the only thing that can fulfill you is doing that calling. And so it was always, you know, no matter what church we ended up going to, as the Army moved us around, it was extremely important for us to get plugged in, you know, to find a good church to get plugged into and to get engaged, I mean, engage in ministry. And that was what brought fulfillment through all those years of moving place to place. And so probably the biggest difference is the fulfillment factor. You know, when you're called to something,
right,
and when God has something on your life, the only thing that's going to satisfy you in that is if you're following that calling. Now, I totally believe that God had me, that I was where God, you know, wanted me to be. He led me through those 22 years, and I had some of the most amazing experiences, met some of the greatest people, had opportunities to do things that I never would have had to do had I just been, you know, in a local church. And then on the other side of that, to answer the other part of your question, being in the military for 22 years has greatly given me skills and things that I use today in the church. Organization, you know, being able to be organized, being a multitasker, being able to do multiple things at multiple times. I've been probably one of the I'm going to tell you, doing recruiting duty for 3 years really prepares you for witnessing and getting out and going and talking to people and making those first contacts and not being shy. And so I mean, you know, God always puts things in your toolbox that you can pull out and use and to better equip you for ministry. I think he always puts you in positions where he is always trying to grow you and strengthen you. So yeah, that's kind of how that all worked out for me, at least.
Now, on that same wise, before I change the scope of the questions, I'm going to ask one question on the military, because I know I've thought about this for a while, but if there's somebody listening, and I do hear, you know, stories from people who are in the military, and I know a lot of people, you know, they're in the military and they just want to stay in the military. Some people, I believe, it's given to them to retire from the military. But what about that person who is just trying to stay in the military so they can retire, and they are also battling the idea that, look, they might need to get out? What would you say to somebody like that? Because obviously for you, you stayed in and you retired, and that was the will of the Lord. But I believe that may not be the will of the Lord for everybody. Some people might be afraid to get out because of the time they placed in, and they just want to do their time and get their money. They put too much in. And you have some people who, you know, okay, they stay in, they do ministry afterwards. But I do believe it's a faith thing, that everybody is not called to stay in the whole time. So what would you say, before we change the scope of the question, to the person that is in the military who is thinking about going forth and doing full-time ministry, and know they need to do full-time ministry, but maybe trying to say, well, I've been in the military too long, let me just hurry up and do my 20 years and do my time, or who may be resistant to getting out now and trusting God and moving by faith? Because that is a big decision, I know, for some people. I know I've contemplated that once or twice before, because when you've done a lot of time on any job, 15, 20, if the retirement is 20 years, and you've done, you know, 15, 14, you know, 16 years, you know, your common sense will kick in and say, you need to stay up in here and just suck that up and do your 4 or 5 years and then go forth, versus getting out early. And then today, as you know, with the military, they're pushing people out as well. What would you tell that person who may be experiencing that issue, or somebody that might be listening that knows somebody that's in the military? Then what can they say to kind of boost that person's faith and help them to trust God and help them to make a decision, a more clear decision concerning a task like that, ministry or their job?
Sure. The very, very first thing that I would say is always seek the heart of God on any decision like that. I mean, it's such a huge decision. When I first joined the Army, my intent was go in the Army for 4 years, come out with some college money, and that was it. I mean, 4 years, I was done. And 22 years later,
you know,
here I am. And so every time it came time for reenlistment, I mean, it was a serious battle in prayer. My heart was to get out. My heart was to be full-time ministry. And, I mean, that's where my heart has always been. And I'm not even full-time now. I mean, so let's just, you know, kind of lay all the cards on the table. I'm not full-time now. I'm still having to be bivocational because I'm in a church that can't afford a pastor. And so we are building it from the ground up. And one of the blessings that God has given me is that I have that 22 years that I can lay back on, that retirement check that's coming in, a bivocation that God has given me favor in an organization where as soon as I got out, they turned around and hired me back as a civilian. So, I mean, all those were blessings, and I would not have been able to stand in the favor and the blessing of God had I not been in his will. So my advice to anyone is know the will of God, know the heart of God for what he's calling you to do. If he says get out, then get out. If he says stay in, stay in. He knows exactly what he's doing. He is always working good for those who love him and that are called according to his purpose, and he will always lead you in the right direction. I mean, he is the good father, and a good father will not lead you down the wrong path. And so I know for me it was a very difficult decision many, many times, and in fact, most of the time I wanted to listen to myself and not to what God was saying, but I now see the fruits of what he was doing. So the only advice I can really give is know the heart of God before you make any decision. Know the heart of God.
All right. Now we're gonna. Now we're gonna switch up a little bit with the scope of the questions. Let's go into another area, and this ties into what we were just talking about. Because one of the things that I have found out in my years of doing ministry is that the problem with a lot of people is the fact that, you know, they say, oh, I have the faith, or oh, I have this, or oh, you know, I have that. They read their word. You know, they're educated. They read their word. They can understand their word. They say that they have faith. So I'm like, okay, well, we got the word. We got the faith. Well, what is the problem? So for a lot of people, I have been convinced that for a lot of people, that the issue is, however, is not a word issue, but the issue is, however, do they really trust and know that they are hearing the voice of the Lord? And not just, and this is in various issues. You know, you run into people and they want to know. I know some people, they run to their pastor for each and every decision, and you know, we'll bless the Lord. But what about when they have a decision in their life that they're not going to be able to contact their pastor? They're bound to have an issue in their life, but they're not going to be able to hit speed dial on their phone and call their pastor or call someone who may be more spiritual to them or their prayer partner. You know what I'm saying? So what do they do?
Oh, yeah.
You know, in that situation. So can we talk about for a minute with you and you know, your time period, your walk with God, what has been, quote unquote, and I'm not asking for a secret here, but in your opinion, you know, what has helped you in, you know, your experience with God? What has helped you to hone in on the voice of the Lord, or have helped you to, you know, be in the will of the Lord? And I'm asking you that so you can, you know, kind of explain that however you want to, practical, or you can get theological. But,
sure.
You can just answer that, because some people go deep, some people go practical. But just what has been, you know, in your opinion, what has been the key to you being able to hone in on the Spirit of the Lord, or hone in His word or His will for your life?
The word says that Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And the only way that you can know the voice of God, the only way that you can know Him, is spend time with Him. In the Christian church, we have moved from, oh my goodness, we've moved from legalism to far grace to, I mean, you know, from one side to the other and all this stuff. And we finally started realizing that it's all about the relationship. But I was preaching this past Sunday on Luke chapter 11, and when the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray," like John taught his disciples. And so Jesus said, "Okay," He said, "when you pray, say Father." And I think that was like the key point out of all of it is knowing that God is Father. And so knowing that He is Father, part of that relationship is building that relationship with Him, and that father-child relationship, to where, you know, we look at Him as Daddy, because that word in the Greek is Abba, which means Daddy or Dad. And so, I mean, that really makes it personal. And when you look at that, in the Old Testament only speaks of God as being Father 14 times, and that was always as He was the Father of the nation. But it was Jesus that told His disciples, when you pray, say Father. And then throughout the New Testament, when you look at the New Testament, you'll see that 60 times, God is referred to as Father. And so Jesus brought a completely cataclysmic shift in what He was saying to His disciples. So for us, if we want to know the voice of God, then we need to develop that relationship. And how do we do that? We do that through prayer. We do that through reading our word. And I'm just going to tell you, there's so many people, and we have gotten so complacent and so lazy even in prayer and in reading our word and seeking God,
right,
that we have fallen back to calling our pastor, calling a prophet, calling an apostle to say, "Hey, what should I do?" instead of getting on our face, spending the time, waiting on God to answer, because I guarantee you He will answer. He may not answer in the time that you want Him to, but He will definitely answer. He is a good Father, and a good Father, when a good Father is asked a question, He always answers His child. Now, that answer may be yes, that answer may be no, and that answer may be later, but he always answers.
So what do you think, since you went there? Now I want to go to that the realm of the prophet, because I believe, you know, you think they were very key, that I believe as well, but you hit an area talking about, you know, people don't have, they're not reading their word, and faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So they're not reading their word. Their faith level can be a little bit low. And if your faith is low, you're not able to produce the works that quote unquote lets the world know that this is who you believe on, that there is some faith that is there. You can show your faith.
Yeah.
Your faith can be revealed by your works. So having said that, well, then let's talk about, what do you feel is the real place of the prophet? When is a good time? See, and I want to talk about this, because some people just rely on the prophetic. Some people, you know, will call a prophet and want them to, you know, what is my birthday, or, you know, give me a word. And I know there have been a lot of times I came around people and they found that I was a prophet. They said, okay, well, give me a word. And sometimes I would just say, okay, well, if you want a word, the word is go read your Bible. That's the word. Go find your Bible, go read it, and get a word out of there. But, you know, I'm convinced that prophecy, God uses prophecy. And prophets still prophesy. They still prophesy judgment. They still speak. And they still do all of that. They still do all of that, I believe.
Yeah.
But I think the church has kind of shifted their faith from God into men. And I don't think that's the way it was intended, even in the abundance of the realm of faith. So I'll let you speak.
Yeah. One of the things in our church, part of our mission statement is that we want to be an Ephesians 4:11-13 church. And what Ephesians 4 says is that he gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, he gave to the church, to the ecclesia, which means those that are gathered. The church is not the building, so let's put that out up front. The church is not the building, the church is the people. And the Bible says that he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints. Those are the people that make up the church. So many times, or in America especially, oh my goodness, we've gotten to the point to where we go to church. You know, hey, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to church. No, we are the church, and we are coming together to worship God in the church. If we're not getting enough word in us throughout the week, then when we come to church, God can't use us. The Bible says that he's given each one of us giftings, that there are giftings in each one of us. So, I've been Pentecostal for a long time, and even in some of the Pentecostal churches, I'll say, well, the prophet, you know, the apostle and the prophet, they're no longer a part of it. We still have the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher.
Right.
And I said,
right.
Wait a second. Even in just my personal belief, I believe that you can have all five offices operating in the same church. I mean, in fact, I think you really should. I mean, an apostle today is not the same as the Apostle Paul or the 12 apostles. They wrote the books of the Bible. So we're no longer adding books to the Bible. But one of the things that they did do as apostles is they went out and they started churches. They grew churches. They grew new ministries. We see this in our missionaries. We see this in people that go into new areas and planting new churches and doing things like that. That is the role of an apostle. The prophet rightly divides the word of God, and I mean brings the word of God. You can always tell an apostle. You can always tell an apostle, because an apostle's thinking, they're thinking, okay, well, I want to build this church so that I can, you know, branch off and go start another church, and we want to send another group out of them to go start another church over here. The prophet, you can always tell them, because everything is black and white to them. I mean, there's no gray area in the middle. And when they bring a word, it's a strong word. It's a straight word. It's truth, always truth, and it's straight at you. The evangelist, you can tell the evangelist when they're in the church. They're the ones that if you put them behind a desk in a church, they'll go crazy. They're the ones that say, hey, I want to go out. I want to talk to the people. I want to tell them about Jesus. I want to draw them in. That's the evangelist. When you're looking at the pastor is one that says, "Hey, I want to care for the sheep. I want to make sure that they're taken care of." When you're talking to the teacher, he's the one that's saying, "Hey, discipleship, discipleship, discipleship." So there is an evident role for the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher in the church, in the ecclesia today, and it has never stopped. It should always continue. However, people don't need to look to man. They need to look to God.
Right.
And this is, you know, Brother Ward, that's been a problem since back at Moses' time. If you'll remember, God said,
right,
"Moses, I want you to go get the people. I want you to consecrate them for 3 days, then bring them to the mountain, and then I want to speak to my people." And so when Moses brought them, he went up on the mountain. God said, "Okay, make them stay down there. Tell them not to even touch the mountain. I'm going to talk to you first, and then I'm going to talk to them." And so he went up to do that. He came back down to get the people to bring them up, and they said, "Hey, you go up and talk to God, and then you come back and tell us what he said, because if we go up, we'll die." And then that was one time. And then you go and you look at Israel. You know, they wanted a king, and God said, "No, I don't want you to have a king. I am your king." And they said, "No, we want a king." And so then he had to appoint a king. Man always wants another man to give him the word that's supposed to come from God. However, God wants to speak to his people as it is, and he does that through the word. He does that when we pray. And sometimes he does that through a prophet, through an evangelist, through an apostle. He'll do that because,
right.
You know, I think sometimes we just don't want to have an ear to listen to God, and so we'll run to man anyway.
And you said something that was so powerful.
And I don't know if that makes any sense, but
that makes sense, because you said something that was so clear in that, and I think there's a responsibility on the leader as well, because like you said, some key, a good leader, I think, and I found, and I'm convinced that good leaders don't always try to be the move of God, but they try to facilitate the move of God. So like in the scenario that you gave, you know, a leader, the mark of a good leader to me is teaching their people how to enter in with or without them. You know what I'm saying? Is to go take the land, whether I'm here or not. You still need to have the Holy Spirit on your side. You still don't have to fast, have to pray, have to tap God for yourself, because it's a one-on-one relationship. There are no big eyes and little U's. And I think that's an issue as well, because we love to make big eyes and little U's in the Christian churches.
Yes.
We love to make superstars when there's only one superstar, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we like to make, you know,
that's
all
right,
these superstars in the body. And I think, you know, we could just teach people these practical skills, but I think that's also been a detriment, because a lot of leaders, because they're trying to build an empire to themselves, they don't teach their people, you know, how to use a Bible concordance, how to use a Bible dictionary, how, you know, to study the Bible, how to use a lexicon, you know, go, you know, how to use a topical Bible. And look, go get these things, learn how to use them. So how to get it, use a commentary, so you can sit down and actually study your word, how to get in it, you know, do a word study, you know, small things like that. So this is going to be I'm going to ask you one more question. This is my last question for you. Can you talk to me, because we have about 10 minutes left in this segment. I just want to let you know this first of all. I want to thank you for coming on. I'm definitely going to ask to get you back, because I want you to come back and give you more time and give you some time to actually release a word or air, like in the form of a sermonette, so to speak, and just really just I just want to be able to really give you some liberal time to just share the Lord and just minister to listeners or to anybody that may be here. And because we started a little late with the show, it has cut the segment down a little bit, but we have about 2 minutes left. And so now I want to ask you, well, what is God telling you? What is going on in your ministry? What is God telling you eschatologically, or, you know, what is God telling you regarding your church, your area? What is God telling you regarding your city and Elizabethtown? I mean, anything in that nature that you want to share. What is he speaking to you and your heart right now? If someone was to ask you, well, what do you think the heartbeat of God is? What would it be that you would tell them?
Wow.
And if somebody was to ask you, what is God doing in Elizabethtown, Kentucky? What would you say? And I'm asking you that because I know I was told that there was a huge belt. This used to be part of the Bible Belt. I know when I first got here, I picked up some things in the atmosphere. I just feel there's a lot of witchcraft. There's some ancient spirits that kind of are in the air here. There's a lot of Hinduist spirits. But I'm asking you that, because you're here, you've been a pastor here, you started ministry here, and you kind of come in full circle. So I'll repeat those questions again. what, if somebody was to ask you what is the heartbeat of God, what would you tell them? And if somebody was to ask you what is God doing in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, what would you tell them?
I think the heartbeat of God right now is he's trying to tell the church, wake up. We are a sleeping church. When you look statistically across the board at churches, I think statistically less than 10% of churches are growing. And out of that 10%, only I think like 80 or 90% of them are growing from not new converts, but from people coming from other churches. And I think what God is saying is, wake up. He's saying the harvest is ripe. Just like he told the disciples, he said, pray to the God of the harvest that he would send workers. And I think we've gotten too lax and too lazy, and we're no longer engaged in what God sent us to do. I think there are two main things that God is trying to take us back to. This church here in Elizabethtown, and maybe even church American-wide, and that is the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Great Commandment in being love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and with everything that's in you, and then love your neighbor as yourself. If we can grasp those two things, then we can go and we can meet that mission where Jesus said, go ye therefore into all, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go ye therefore and make disciples, going and doing. If we don't love God, if we don't get to a place, if the church doesn't wake up and get to a place where it loves God, and I mean loves God with everything that's in them, and then they won't come to a place where they love their neighbor as themselves. And when you look at that, James, the brother of Jesus, he said, consider others greater than yourself.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm,
not just love them as ourselves, but love them greater than ourselves. Paul said it best, and when Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, he was writing about exactly what Jesus taught when he said, love God with everything that's in you. He said, I am crucified with Christ and no longer live. What is he saying there? Well, he's saying exactly what he told Peter and the disciples. He said, if any man desires to follow after me, let him deny himself. That means all of our desires, all of our will, the things that we want to do, we lay them down, we put them aside, and we follow him. We take up our cross. Well, Jesus hadn't been to the cross yet. So, I would imagine they kind of looked at him like he was crazy. Take up your cross. We think of it as just like Jesus took up his cross and died on the cross. But when he told the disciples that, he hadn't been to the cross yet. And so what he was communicating to them, because they knew what the cross meant. The cross in that time meant death. That means,
right. Hey,
take up a cross. They're saying, holy cow, is he saying die? Absolutely. He's saying die to your own self. But we want to live so much according to our own flesh, our own desires,
right. Our
own will. And if it doesn't meet up with that, then we don't do it. And so if we can't get to that point, we're never going to get to the point where we love our neighbor as ourselves and going therefore. And the reason we don't go is because we don't love them. If we love them, if we believe that they were dying and going to hell, and we love them enough to save them from that, we'd be begging them. I mean, we'd be giving the best altar calls you've ever given in the middle of Walmart, in the middle of the mall, trying to get people to give their hearts to Jesus. So I think that's the heartbeat of God. I think it's always been souls. It's always been for his people to love him and to love each other.
Awesome. And I want to thank you for that. That was a mouthful. And I definitely do want to get you back here. I definitely do want to get you back and just let you just talk a little bit more, because I think that is powerful. And before I let you go, because I got a few minutes here, this will be my last question to you on this note. What is the role of, how crucial do you think, ministering to our community, benevolence, giving, ministering to the poor, I know, because you talked about evangelism, you talked about the percentages of churches that are growing from, you know, not from new converts, but from, I say church hopping, for lack of better phrase. You know,
now that's
got,
exactly what it is, brother.
You know, we got folks got a frog. I call it a frog spirit. They just jumping around. Or I was saying that, you know, laughing while I was saying that, but you know, it's growing there.
Well, they're looking for churches that meet their needs. When they jump from church to church to church, they're looking for a church. They are a consumer Christian. They're going from church to church because this pastor doesn't say the things that I like for him to say, or this church doesn't do the type of worship that I like, or this church over here, they don't have the programs that meet my needs. It's not about our needs. Being a part of the church is not about us. Being a part of the church, why do we gather? We gather so that we can have communion with God. I mean, that's
right.
What it's all about. When we worship, we think that when we go into a worship service that the music's supposed to get us up and that it's supposed to bring us up. No, we're supposed to come in ready to worship a great and holy and majestic and awesome God.
See,
but instead,
you know what?
We go into the churches and the pastor or the minister of music has to work, I mean work, for the first 20 minutes just to get the people engaged in true worship. And worship in spirit and truth. So yeah, I mean, you know, sorry about that,
okay.
But I mean,
oh,
that
no,
church hopping thing is
right.
Man,
oh yeah, that's
just,
and you know what? maybe we'll use that for another topic. I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I want to thank you for being a part of the show, and I'm definitely going to have you back. And maybe we can talk about that more so in depth. Because I said let me end this right now because he just opened up a can of worms, and we're not even going to go there. We'll be up in here. I said we'll just open that all the way up, talking about the worship too, and how people got to pump and prime people, and you brought they brought themselves to God. Okay, God is honoring you with His presence, and you come into the church and sit down as if God owed you something, and then don't want to clap, don't want to look, you know, don't even want to stand up, don't even want to lift up a holy hand. You know, there were times I was just thankful to get to the house. I was just thankful just to get it, just to be in the building, just to be able to lift our hands. But if we only knew what people overseas had to go through sometimes to be able to worship God. Well, Pastor White, I want to thank you for tuning in. We are very spoiled.
Yes,
I want to thank you for tuning in, and we've got to have you back. Be blessed, and I want to thank you, and I appreciate it. We're definitely going to have you back to the show. No problem.
All right.
Prophetic radio broadcast, and this is your host, welcome you to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Calvin Ward, and we tuned in for tonight. We've just heard a powerful word and interview with Pastor John White of Elizabeth Town, Kentucky. And I just want to thank you for being a part. And now we're going to our segment two, and we have on the line Pastor Bryant Holloway from Racine, Wisconsin. We're going to see what is the Lord doing through him and in him and in the land. So I want you to tune in, sit back, relax, and invite you in. You're listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. Hello. I want to thank you guys for listening in. Pastor Holloway, how are you doing on tonight?
Oh, I'm well, sir. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
No problem. I kind of hear an echo in the background. I don't know if you can hear that. I don't know if the show is actually on the internet as well. I kind of hear, I don't know how that works out.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not on the internet. I'm only online.
Okay, no problem. Well, it stopped, so I hear you clear. Now, okay, let's just get right into this. I'm glad to finally get... Say again?
Oh, I don't know. Somebody must have come in on the line or something.
Okay, I can hear you clear. So let's just get into this. I want to first thank you for being on the show tonight, and I do want to kind of bring you back and get you to do a longer segment. So let's just go on here. So can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself? You are right there in Racine, Wisconsin, and you have a ministry that you've set base there. Can you tell us, you know, the name of your church and what you do in ministry?
Okay, absolutely. The name of the church is Refuge Church, and my wife and I have been pastoring the church for 2 years now, and how we got started in ministry was, I'm a product of East St. Louis, Illinois. I was born and raised there. And about 19 years ago or so, the Lord transplanted me to the city of Racine, Wisconsin.
Pastor Holloway? All right, we've been disconnected from Pastor Holloway, so we're going to ask that if we're going to wait for him to come back in. We've got to wait for him to come back in. So Pastor Holloway is left. We're going to wait for him to come back in. So while we're waiting, I'm going to kind of hit on a quick topic here. I know Pastor White kind of hit on. Pastor Holloway, are you back?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I lost you for a minute. All right, no problem.
Yeah.
So you're here. Okay, let's continue.
I was saying that I'm a product of East St. Louis, Illinois, and my mother raised us up in the church. We were born and raised in the church. As far as I can remember, we were in the church, and I've always had a love for the Word of God, and she began putting the Word in us by having us to read the Bible to her when we were learning how to read. So we participated in many Bible studies, And above 19 years ago, when we came into the city, I had backslidden as a teenager, and God had been dealing with me, and I'd been running from God, and a friend of mine had got shot next to me, standing next to me, and the Lord came to me in a vision, and he showed me every area of my life where he had spared my life, and he had let me know that had I not made changes in my life, that the time was coming up, and so I hurried up and got saved. And a year or two after that, I began to take a serious interest in the ministry. And so I began to study, and I began to take courses and classes. And then I began to help my brother pastor a church. So I pastored a church with my brother as an assistant pastor for about 8 years. And finally, the Lord dealt with me about starting a ministry. So about 4 years ago, we left and we began to make preparations to open up Refuge Church, and here we are now. We founded the church 2 years ago, and we've been working that work in this city.
All right. Well, I would like to just move a little bit forward. Let's just move forward a little bit more. Now, I know you said you co-pastor the church with your brother. Now, is this your twin brother, if I'm correct?
Yeah, it's my twin brother.
Yeah, that was your twin brother.
Mm-hmm. I assisted him in the pastorate for about 9 years, yep.
Okay, well, awesome. Well, okay, so you're pastoring right there in Racine, Wisconsin. Name of the church is Refuge Church. So let's get into what is Well, how did you get into the ministry? Let's start there first. I was about to delve right into it, but let's just progress for a minute. How did you get started in ministry?
Well, I got started in the ministry because the word and the things of God had always been on my heart. And it doesn't matter what I've done because I've worked secular jobs, and no matter what kind of work I've done, my heart was always in the ministry. So, like I said, I began to take courses, and then I set up under a couple of men and women of God, and finally, you know, the Lord started dealing with me about it. And as he started dealing with me about it, I began to take a few courses, ministerial prep courses in the church, and went forward from there. And my brother, once he founded his church, the church that he was pastoring, about a year into it, he asked me to come along and help him, and I decided to do that. My wife and I, and we helped him for about 8 years, and the Lord began to speak to me about moving on.
Okay, awesome. So, right there in Racine. Now, Racine, I'm going to tell you that this is my experience with Racine, Wisconsin. I was talking to, excuse me, the sniffling here. I've gotten the sniffles somehow, but right there in Racine, Wisconsin, my experience now, I was there in Waukegan. Waukegan, I don't know how many miles, so to speak, it's a good 45-minute drive, I would say. I don't know, would you agree that Waukegan's about 45 minutes away? So I know at nighttime for a season, I used to wake up around the hours of 11 and 12. I could not sleep. And so I was like, well, God, what is this? This is, you know how we do. I'm saying this comically, but I'm like, God, this is the devil. I'm trying to sleep. I got to get up at 4:30. What is going on?
Right.
And so since I couldn't sleep, I said, okay, well, Father, well, since I can't sleep, maybe you want me to pray. So I would get up and pray, and I would pray against the gang spirits or rape or any robberies or anything that's going on in the atmosphere, but bind up witchcraft as well. And God had led me to this YouTube series that I saw, and he had basically revealed to me how there was witchcraft, because the gentleman that was doing this video was talking about witchcraft. He was breaking it down, getting into, you know, how they pulled him in and what he did in these secret societies and witchcraft, atheism, and breaking some things down that he got introduced to in college with the Catholic Church and blah, blah, blah. Well, the gist of it, at the end of it, this guy was from Milwaukee. And when he said that, it blew my mind, because it connected with the spirits of witchcraft and these ancient Indian spirits that are in the atmosphere of the region that's in the area, not just Waukegan area. But he had showed me how there was like, it was a mushroom cloud of sorts that was coming up out of Milwaukee. It kind of would come up out of, I saw it coming out of Milwaukee, going into the air, and then hovering out like a cloud over the surrounding areas, and how that cloud was stretching. Correct. And it was stretching over the surrounding areas, Zion, Kenosha, and Waukegan, and some of these other surrounding areas. Well, what was funny about that is Prophet Gray, I was talking to him the other day, relaying that story to him. And what he told me was, he said, you didn't know Milwaukee was a witchcraft capital. It's a witchcraft hub, and it blew my mind. And so having said that, I said that to say this, what do you pick up being in Racine and being in that area longer, you live there? What do you feel is in the atmosphere? What do you feel you have to battle as stronghold spirits, or as principal or principalities, as some would call them, these principal spirits in that area?
Absolutely. Witchcraft is most certainly here in this area. There are many marine spirits as well that come from the water. And another thing that we see a lot of is the spirit of religion that operates here in the city. And we are constantly targeting those spirits, and also waging severe war with those spirits. And as a matter of fact, we're coming in on Tuesday nights every Tuesday night at the church, and we're praying corporately to bind up those demons, because they are, it's a fight, because those are spirits that are being unseated, and they're being uprooted even now, and they've not wanted to go, but Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, there is no power that can withstand his power. So anything that he says and he does, and when we prophesy and make those prophetic declarations, those things are being unseated and uprooted even now. And we're seeing the change that God is bringing to the city as a result. of people standing up and standing in the gap and making it their business to not only fast, not only pray, but to fast as well, and to delve into the Word of God and make it very clear, and really make it known to those demonic forces that we're here to stay, and we're not afraid, we're not running, we're not taken back, but we are taken back.
But we
are taken back, and we're taking it back by force. And we've been placing demands on a kingdom, the kingdom, and we're dictating the kingdom so that we can, and we're ensuring that we get a kingdom response. And so we've been seeing mighty moves of God going on in the church. Although we're still a small and growing church, we had I was preaching on Sunday about season and the fact that our seasons can't wait any longer. And so God really showed up immensely in the church service on Sunday, and it was just powerful, and we've been seeing breakthrough after breakthrough coming into the church. So God is starting to turn the tide of what's going on around right now, and we are believing God to really we're going to be believing God, and we're going to dispatch those clouds and get those clouds out of this region so that God can do what he wants to do in our city.
Now, I do want to make a correction. The city was Madison, Wisconsin, that I wanted to say, because I put it out there. So if you're listening, because I said Milwaukee. Milwaukee was where I was concentrating at. But when I mentioned that story, the prophet had told me, he said, yeah, you know, Madison was, when he said Madison, Wisconsin, I was like, well, wow, that's right there in the city. And it would be a good thing. I don't know how far that is from Milwaukee, but I'll have to check that out. But my
it's about 70 miles or so.
It's about 70 miles, so that's close. Okay, that is close. Okay, yeah, that is close. So let me ask you this, and I want to say this because as an encouragement to people that are starting churches, because see, you know, I've been sitting here to start a ministry right here in Radcliffe, Kentucky. You know, and so it's been about a year and a half just digging ground, and I call it digging apostolic ground, digging prophetic ground in the atmosphere and prayer, laying a foundation and doing some things. And so some you see pop up real quick with numbers and this, some you see don't. Let's talk about the differences. What do you think the differences are in churches? And as I was talking to, I was talking to someone else about this, some of the differences in how what we call, per se, white churches and black churches, how they set their churches up, you know, it's white churches and black churches, both of them participate in some of the same practices. But there's a book called Spinoff Churches, and I love the book because it has a lot of numbers in there. The scope. I know some people in black churches, they'll just send a leader out and have the leader just plant, for the most part, have the leader just plant and just build without sending a team or ministry resources. And I know they do this also. White churches also do this too. But it's more so with the black churches that you see the leaders having to dig the church by themselves, as opposed to other churches of other ethnicities. Sometimes, you know, sometimes they go there, they're more apt to have help or connections from either the parent ministry, mother ministry, or their denomination in building their churches, because if you're in a denomination, you have resources. So that being said, I want to kind of encourage pastors who may be founding churches, who may be doing their work, and they may feel by themselves. Why do you think it's key to stick to what God has told you to do? Because even being small in number and fighting strongholds and fighting, you know, demons that are in the area, and when you hit these demons, it affects the community, it affects the politics of the community, it changes the atmosphere. And these demonic spirits and powers and rulers of darkness do not like this. So what about that small pastor who says, you know, well, I've had this church for 5 or 6 years, you know what I'm saying? I've had it for 5 or 6 years. Well, maybe I need to switch and stop preaching hellfire and brimstone. Maybe I need to stop preaching deliverance. Maybe I need to stop preaching, you know, this, that, and the third, and lighten up a little bit, some, you know, as they say it, or as some would do. You know, what would you say to them? What is the, how would you encourage them to say, look, stay on the path that you're on, stay flat-footed, do the work that God has called you to do, and actually be the church in the area?
Well, absolutely. That's a great question. I greatly appreciate that. One of the things is it is very easy as a pastor to get to become inundated so to where you feel like you're by yourself. But Jesus said, he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." So we're never alone as much as we may feel that we are. And the one other thing is that as long as we're fulfilling our purpose, we're going to be fulfilled anyway. And in addition, we are not to despise that they are small beginnings. And for any pastor that's getting started, I recommend that you really take some time and know that it's the timing, that know that the timing is correct, first of all, for you to go out. And then not only that, but spend some time in prayer and fasting. And there's no other way to release the fruitfulness or the measure of faith that it takes to get things like this off and running than to fast. There's no other means because it accelerates, it helps to accelerate the move of God in our lives. And it and what it does is it gets us out of the way, and it gets our thought process and our ideology out of the way, so that it puts us in position where the flow of the Spirit can be more full. And because it's easy to get discouraged today. It's easy. There's a lot of discouragement that's out there, and a lot of people are feeling helpless, and a lot of people are feeling hopeless. And one of the things that's happened is that the enemy has been attacking the fruitfulness of the saints, and a lot of people aren't bearing fruit anymore. And so so we need to make sure that our lives are bearing fruit, the fruit. As a matter of fact, in Galatians chapter number 5, verse 23, one of the fruit of the Spirit is faith. And so we have to have that faith active in our lives if we're gonna do what it is that God called us to do. No matter what we try, if we do it outside of the purpose and the will of God for our lives, we make a mistake. Matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 17, beginning around there, Paul said this. He said, after I've seen the faith that's in you, he said, I have not to pray for you. And then, as a matter of fact, he said, one of the prayers is that your eyes may be enlightened to what is the purpose. And see, what is happening is that there's a lot of people that their purpose is in the dark because they're not operating in that level of faith or in that measure of faith that it requires for us to move the kingdom forward. And we also have to understand that the kingdom of God is inside of us. It's in our belly. It's in us. There's infinity in us. So when we understand that God has called us, He reaches into an infinite store of His treasures to make sure that we're going to have everything that we need, all the tools and the resources that we need to further the kingdom. It's not about how fast or with what amount of rapidity that our churches grow. It's just in making sure that we take the time to build it right and to do exactly what God called us to do, not looking at what's going on in other churches and what everybody else is doing and what's going on in other ministries, because right. If you do that, you're going to get discouraged every single time. It's income. And then another thing is to make sure that we begin to allow the fullness of the fivefold ministry in the church. I think that one of the things that's affecting the church today is the absence of the apostolic and the prophetic ministry in the church, and I mean in its truest functions and what it's supposed to be doing. I think we make the mistake of not allowing that to come forth when God wants to bring it forth in our services.
Right.
We make the mistake of suppressing it, and so we're trying to limp into glory, if you would. We're trying to limp our churches forward. We're trying to limp the ministries forward, and where Second Chronicles chapter 20:20, he says, "Believe on the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe on his prophets, and so shall ye prosper."
Right.
So the Lord establishes us, but the prophets reach down in us and activate that word of truth and promise to leapfrog us forward into our destiny. So it's not for us to be afraid of the prophetic, but it's for us to embrace it, and even the apostolic.
Right. Now, let me ask you, before I go forward, I got to say this, because I say that all the time out of my mouth when I talk about church. I might say black church, white church. But it really, I get on my own nerves, if I can say that, when I say that, because I like to use stuff improper. When I was in Hawaii, one of the things that got on my nerves was you would go down the street and see a Japanese church. It would say Korean church. It would say you had a church for every ethnicity, and they actually put the ethnicity on the outside of the church. And that just,
right.
that's one of the things that really get me. There's only one church of Jesus Christ. But I just want to throw that out there, because when we use when you use colors or use things like that, it's to delineate, and we know there's not no black church, white church, Korean church, Jewish church, this, that, and the third. Everybody's the same, but we use it to kind of delineate and make the point that we need to make. Now, having said that, I would like for you, because I know you have some supernatural experiences. I know a lot of people that have some stories, and I would like for you to share one of your stories with us, with one of the experiences that you have in the spirit realm. And I want to talk about that because there are a lot of people, and see, you know, you run into people. There are a lot of people that talk about spiritual experiences, or they read the Bible and they say they believe them, but they have not had them. And I know I've had some out of body experiences. I know that that's the terminology the world places there. In the Bible, they may call it, you know, I was caught up, I was in a vision. And I know there's some things, because when there are interactions with demons. Demons at times, you know, the Bible says, beware lest you entertain angels unaware, where a fallen
right.
angel is still a messenger. They might not be one of the angels that are in heaven, but they are still a messenger. They are fallen angels, as we would have them. And we still interact with these demons today. And can you just tell us one of the stories, maybe one or two stories, before we get into the prophetic and bring Prophet Gray online here with him and his wife? Can you give us a couple of stories about the supernatural, about some things, your encounters with some of the events or the demons or some of the spiritual problems that you've had in your life? And I want you to do that. I just want you to put it out there, because I want to really bring you back and talk about some of those when we bring you back. And I'm just, yeah, I want to really kind of zoom in on that, because people just really need to know. I know Sid Roth
right.
has it's supernatural, but there's a whole other aspect that some people are living, because they're on the front lines, that people just don't know about.
Oh, absolutely. There are a lot of people don't realize how real demons and angels are. And it's interesting that you would ask me to say this in this forum, but I typically don't talk about it a lot, because you know, a lot of people wouldn't be able to receive it if you tell them. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, they can't receive that. So, on my journey in pastoring, I had come to a place in time where I had really been growing rapidly in Christ, and I had been really calling out things and dealing with things, and we had been speaking against things and pulling down things and working against the strongholds of the devil. And one night I was in my bedroom, and I was laying down in my bed, and I was awakened by this voice that was standing over me, and he spoke to me, and he said some pretty bad things when he woke me up. And I was just laying there, and he said, "Oh, you really think that you had done something tonight?" Because I had been preaching, and we had gotten a real high in the spirit, and we had been casting down things. The power of God really manifested, and some things were broken. And so I heard this voice, and it was a demonic voice, and he stood over me, and he said to me, he said, "You really think you did something tonight, didn't you?" And he said, "Well, I tell you what, I said, I'm getting ready to kill you." He said, "I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna take you out." And I looked at him. I said, "Well, whatever you want to say, devil, bring it on." I said, "No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against me has been condemned. So you're already condemned anyway." I said, "So whatever you feel like you want to do, you can do." And he said, "Okay, don't you worry about it. I'm gonna get you though. I'm gonna get you." And I say, "Well, whatever." And then I just laid over and went to sleep. And finally, a couple nights later, I felt an arm reach up through the mattress of the bed, and this thing went across my chest, and I could feel the hairs of its arm on my chin, and around my neck, and this thing started to literally choke me. It was choking me, and it was stopping my passageways, and I couldn't breathe. And I didn't get upset, or I didn't panic or anything. I just laid there, and I was thinking about Jesus. I just began to think about my Savior. And finally, it let up. When I was getting ready to take my last breath, it let up. And when I breathed in the air in my lungs, I popped up out of sleep. And I looked over in the area where he had come into my house at that time, and I laughed, and I just kind of laughed. I say, "See, devil," and I spoke to him just like this. I say, "See, devil, I told you, no weapon formed against me shall prosper." And that's just one of the experiences, and among many. And I've had other experiences where I've literally seen demons. Like I said, they've spoken to me, and I've also seen the angels. I've had experiences where I've seen angels, and after that event, I began to loose the angels in my home. I began to go around my home and anoint it again and began to loose the angels. And while one night I was praying with my daughter, she was on her way to sleep, and I heard some footsteps walking behind me when I was going to her bedroom to pray with her. I heard footsteps walking behind me. And as I prayed with her, I began to really feel the presence of God. And so my daughter looked up and she told me, she said, "Dad, when you were praying," she said, "I saw an angel." She said there was an angel that had his arm wrapped around you, and he had one hand up to God, and he was looking up to God while you were praying. And that's another experience that I've had spiritually. So I showed you one on the demonic side, and I just wanted to tell you one on the heavenly side.
On the heavenly side. I'm glad you did that, and that is so powerful as well with those experiences, because I know early on, I know when I first got saved, I was taught, you know, and I asked the Lord, I said, "Well, God, if I can't live this, then I need to just go on back in the world and do what I need to do. If I can't have the visitation from angels, the out-of-body experiences, I mean, experience the supernatural as they experience it, then I need to go on about my business. Now, either I'm going to read it, either he's able to do it, Lord have mercy, either he's able to complete the work or able to do it, or either he is not." And so I expect full experience from the Lord, having read his word and having believed on it. And, you know, the scripture says these signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. So I wholeheartedly believe that. And I remember one time in Texas, one of the pastors said, he said, "Could it be that the miracles and signs are not there because you're not saying anything? Because we're not preaching the gospel." He said, "You preach the gospel, this stuff will follow." So I know that just helps to build people's faith when you say experiences like that. Well, we talk about experiences like that. So what we're going to do right now, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to bring Prophet Gray on, because what I want to do is add an element. I want to talk about the prophetic and the apostolic if we can, but I just want to talk a little bit about prophetic acceleration. I want to bring Prophet Gray on because I know Prophet Gray has been talking about prophetic acceleration, and these are people who actually live it. And, you know, like Pastor John, Pastor White was on, and he, you know, retired. He's in the ministry. He's doing the ministry, feet on the ground, going full speed in ministry on the ground. He's doing it. Prophet Gray, I want to bring him on the line because Prophet Gray, he just recently made some huge decisions to go into full-time ministry and to do some things. And then you right there in Racine, Wisconsin, because you've made some decisions as well there, but God has followed you. So, Prophet Gray, are you here?
We are here.
Okay,
awesome. Archer, are you also here?
I am here.
Okay, awesome. I want to thank you guys for being on the show tonight. And I just want to talk a little bit. I know Pastor Holloway was ministering here and talking about some of these supernatural experiences. I know you guys work powerfully in deliverance, so I want to kind of get on deliverance for a little bit. This is the last segment. I want to close out. We have about 16 minutes left. But I want to ask you guys to tell us real quick a couple of minutes, a little bit about your background in ministry. And then on top of that, I want you to talk a little bit about deliverance. And then we're just going to go from there. And I want to lead into prophetic acceleration in this season. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, take a minute or two?
Okay, go ahead, Archer.
I am Prophetess Archer Gray, and I have been in ministry for many years, recently finding out that deliverance and prayer is the gifts that God has given to me. So we're moving forward as far as deliverance ministry and also as well as the prayer ministry that God has given to me.
Okay, so I'm Prophet Patrick Gray. Been in ministry for, as my wife said, quite a while, probably since the late 90s, 98, 99. Actually ordained a prophet in 2008. Before that, just being about my father's business. As you mentioned recently, I did quit my full-time job to start a ministry here in Racine, Rehoboth International Ministries. At this point, we both sit on the board of MII, which is Mentoring Institute International, actually founded by Calvin Ward. So that's a brief background of our, a brief background.
Okay, well, awesome. So let's talk about this. Let's just get into this. Let's talk about the prophetic. Now, I know Pastor Holloway, can we just, I'll let him start that off, and then, well, actually, let me switch that for a minute. Prophet Gray, I'm going to ask you to start that off. Let's talk about the prophetic, and what do you sense God is doing in the prophetic in this season? Because I know talking with you, you sense the elevation, so to speak, and you talked about that third hour of prayer or of being
third
on watch. That third watch, thank you, for being up and in prayer. And can I get you to talk about that a little bit more? And what do you feel was the heartbeat of God concerning that as he committed that revelation, understanding, or vision to you concerning that? You and your wife.
The one thing that Pastor White, he really hit on souls. But along with that, I believe that this is a time, because you talked about acceleration. This is a time of elevation of faith. The scripture says, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And when we talk about faith, if you think about the apostles in the book of Acts, there's a passage of scripture, and I'm paraphrasing, it said, these men have turned the world upside down. So when we're hitting faith, we're hitting acceleration, we're hitting these things, there was not just the people in the book of Acts, which were the apostles, that said, I'm saved, but there was manifestation of the power and the gifts of God working in them that caused even from Peter on the day of Pentecost when he preached that message, it was either 3,000 or 5,000 souls were added because of demonstration of the Spirit. I really feel in this hour, in this time, God is calling for his people to walk in another level of faith. And as we walk in that faith, what's going to happen is those same gifts, those same manifestation, that same power that was shown in the book of Acts is going to be here. The one thing that when I talk with people, when I minister to people, and even as you talk to Christians, you see that level of faith isn't there. I talk to so many people who, without even knowing it, because the scripture says that death and life are in the power of their tongue, are speaking life and speaking curses upon themselves, especially in the secular world. My job, I dealt with people on a daily basis. There were times I would deal with probably 30 or 40 customers a day, and I would just sit and listen to them speak curses upon them. Things like, I'm stupid, I'm a dummy, things like that. They were speaking things into their life. And again, this I'm still tying this with faith. They didn't know that they were made in the image of God. And being made in the image of God, you have that creative power. According to in the fourth chapter of Romans, the scripture says, God is a God who called those things that be not as though they were. And we were made in his image. We were made to have that creative power. We were made to speak to the atmosphere, and things would have to move and begin to start to create whatever we say. And I know you asked me a bunch of questions, but that's kind of where I'm at. I see that God is igniting our faith in this hour. God is looking for a people who will believe his word. I mean, truly believe, take the word for face value. In 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, I believe the 20th verse, it says, believe on the Lord thy God, so shall ye be established. Believe on his prophets, so shall ye prosper. So if we want to talk about that acceleration, during that time, there was the king at that time was going through some problems. They were being attacked, but they went to before the Lord in prayer and fasting. And as they went below before the Lord in prayer and fasting, he sent a prophet to bring them a word. And the word, and as the king received the word, the people rejoiced. And again, he came out in that 20th chapter, that 20 and 20, and said, believe on the Lord thy God, so shall you be established. Believe on the prophets, so shall you prosper. So because of the word of the Lord they received and the instructions that they followed, and we, again, I'm going into acceleration. I know we don't have a whole lot of time, so I'm shooting along here real quickly. They were able to defeat the enemy without lifting a hand. And they were also able to be blessed. There was a 3-day spoil that was given to them. So acceleration because of just the instructions of the Lord. I know it seemed like I kind of jumped around a whole lot, but I want to give my wife some time to say some things. But I also want to just talk about a little bit about that third watch prayer. I believe that God is calling us into that third watch because you talked about, with Pastor Holloway, you talked about witchcraft. You talked about demons. You talked about things like that. In that third watch, which is from 12 to 3, that is the witching hour, I guess is the best way to put it. That's the time when you got warlocks and witches doing their incantations, spells and whatever, trying to hinder the people of God, the churches of God, and what God wants to do in this hour. I just believe that God is calling for a group of people that are willing to sacrifice some sleep. And in that hour between 12 to 3, begin to bombard
Amen.
Heaven,
right.
to loose angels to begin to combat and begin to break the bands of the enemy, to cut off the supply lines of the enemy. And I find myself recently in that hour just praying for the churches of God, binding up those spirits of witchcraft, binding up every demonic spell that's been released, reversing that back to the pit of hell from whence it came and back to Satan's minion. So I know that you asked me some questions and I jumped around and skipped, but again, I know our time is pretty short, so I'm going to turn it over to my wife now.
All right. Well, awesome. And I just want to throw this out there real quick before you do that, because the counter to this witching hour is a concept, they call it commanding your morning. So it's the counter element, or whether we want to say spiritual warfare tool, but if people that are listening, they can look that up, where you get up in the early hours of the morning, and the first thing you do when you get up is command your morning, or decree and declare the word of God, and you program your day with the word of God, the creative forces of the word of God. And so that's a counter to this witching hour, as you spoke today, are both real. Prophetess Archla.
Yes, sir.
How are you on tonight? Can you tap into that element? Can you give us, for about maybe 2 minutes, can you tap into that element of a little bit and talk about prayer concerning that third watch? Then I'm going to bounce this back to Pastor Holloway because I want him to tag team in on that as well. Can you talk about that third watch as it pertains to prayer and a little bit about deliverance in a couple of minutes there? And I know we're squeezing this in, but I want to touch on this because I want to come back and do a full show on it.
Okay. When it comes to the third watch, you really have to be in tune with God's word. The word says that faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So for us that are those of us that are intercessors and prayer warriors, that's an opportune time right there to really attack the enemy while he's in full force.
Right.
We have to pray strategically. You can't just, you know, mumble some words, but you have to have a strategic prayer. And just like you all were talking about the city of Racine, the state of Wisconsin, God had given me so many prayers to pray over the city and to pray over the state because of the ground that had been laid. And so every state has its own region of demons and level of demons and, you know, the things that have taken place there. So it behooves any of the intercessors or any of the warriors to really seek God and find out what is it that's hindering his move. And when they do that, God, of course, is going to reveal, this is what you need to do, that's what you need to do. On last week, God told me to pray for the saints at large. So I sent out a blast message to anyone that needed prayer or had a request. I got one response. One response.
Wow.
And the thing was, God said he was going to move that week things that had been hindered and had been stopped or delayed was going to happen last week. I'm not saying that it's not going to happen, but last week was that opportune time. I'm an intercessor. I pray for people all the time, but for God to give me that block of time to pray for the saints, that was the time to get your request in. So, you know, you have to be strategic. You have to be able to hear what God is saying and go ahead and move as God tells you to move. Amen.
All right. Amen. Now, let's tie this story, Watson, because I definitely want to get past the holler. I want to tie you back into this because they laid down a quick foundation, too. I know we're moving fast here. Y'all work with me. They laid down a quick foundation with the third watch and talking about prayer. Let's combine it with deliverance. And so can you talk about that third watch as it pertains to deliverance? And they kind of connect deliverance to the direction of a church and how tying deliverance into a church can help catapult a church forward by dealing with some problems at the foundation before they get bigger, and then you go forth in the future, and now you're dealing with these big monsters here, and you have to stop progress to deal with these things. Hello, Miriam, and then you got to put somebody behind out. Yeah, we know the story in the Old Testament, and the whole camp just stopped because you got one person that just decides that God doesn't just speak to the pastor anymore. I'm the pastor. But that's a whole session. But can you speak to deliverance in that third watch and just give us something on that?
Well, absolutely. At one point, God was waking me up as well in that between time of midnight and 3 o'clock every morning. And I found it a great time because although there is a lot of activity, there is a lot of silence.
Okay, did we lose Pastor Ward?
It allows the people to flow freely, to praise God, bless Him, to give Him glory, because we don't give Him glory for us, we give Him glory for Him. It frees us to do that so that He can, in turn, bless us even more.
So, Pastor Holloway, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. It got kind of quiet. I didn't know we got disconnected. Now, should every church be operating in deliverance, yes or no?
Every church should absolutely be operating in deliverance. Deliverance is the cornerstone of cornerstones of Christianity. That's because Jesus called us to deliverance. Every believer is called to freedom. It's one of the trademarks of every believer.
Okay, now deliverance is being in ministry and covering. A real quick note on covering. What do you believe about covering? Or what does the Bible tell us about covering, especially if you're going to be in deliverance and doing things? Do we need covering, yes or no, and a quick blurb as to why?
I think that coverings are important because I think we should have covering. The Bible speaks about coverings. As a matter of fact, Paul was Timothy's covering, and Peter was Mark's covering. I think coverings are fundamentally important because what it does is it allows a lineage of the anointing to progress. So if there's an established line of anointing, that anointing is passed down to you, and it can only be activated by your father or your covering. That would in turn actually, it goes into the law of the doubling of the portion, because when he lays his hands on you, it not only does it impart of him to you, but it also activates you.
Right. Right.
So your portion is doubled, and you have a legitimate line on your behalf or against you, or for you, or in other words, or he cannot say that you're out there by yourself.
Right.
Because you have
right.
a covering there in agreement.
Right. Amen. So I want to just close out, Providence Archer. Can you close us out in prayer? Real quick, and I want to thank you guys for listening. You've been tuned into the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast.
Father, we thank you all today, God. We thank you, Father, for this show on today, Father. We ask right now, Lord God, that you move upon these airwaves right now, God. We thank you for the pastors, Lord God, that have spoken, the man of God that is leading this show on today, Father. We ask that you just move upon them like never before, God. Endow us with your wisdom, with your knowledge, your understanding, God. We bind every hindering spirit that will come against the people of God right now in the name of Jesus. We declare your will and your way Lord God, that it will be upon us even now, Lord God. We declare blessings. We declare wholeness, Lord God. We declare wealth. We declare, Lord God, your Spirit, Father God, to be upon us even now, God, in the precious name of Jesus. And so, God, we bind every force, Lord God, that will hinder, Lord God, your word. We bind the hindering spirit, Lord God, that will hunt after the souls right now in the name of Jesus. We declare all souls, Lord God, that they will be saved, Lord God, that people will fall on their faces, God, and they will declare that you are Lord God in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we ask for your direction, Lord God, that you would lead us and guide us in all manner of truth, oh God. We yield ourselves to you, Father, on today, God. We yield our members to you, Lord God. We surrender everything to you, God. We give our hearts, our minds, our souls to you, Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus. And so, God, we thank you and we praise you, God, for what you're doing and what you plan on doing, Father. We say have your own way, Lord God. Move by your spirit, Lord God. We declare revival in the land, God. We declare it right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to do something a little different here. I know if you guys, if you have to go, go. But I know it's off air right now. It is not recorded. Is there anything on anybody's mind that they would like to just share? This will probably be recorded. If you could call it the after show, that'll be exactly what it is. But if there's anything you would like to share that you couldn't get in during the show, this is the time to kind of squeeze that in. If there's an afterthought, if you have something, you can add it in. If not, we can just close. But if there's something on your mind that you need to get in, please take time. We have 56 minutes here. I know it's not going to take you an hour, and even if it did, we'll praise the Lord. But if there's something that you wanted to reveal on any topic that we talked about that you have here now, you can do that.
I want to add, I kind of tried to crunch in so many things at once, really wasn't able to kind of hone in on one thing. But the one thing that's interesting, my wife mentioned that the Lord had prompted her to post, I believe, on Facebook, is there anybody that needs prayer? Again, we're going back to faith. I believe she got one response. In this hour, in this time, we've been so programmed through television, because, again, we watch television programs to only believe in the demonic supernatural and not the supernatural things that God can do. Is there anybody out there?
Right.
Do you understand if you begin to understand, I guess, the world and even our Facebook friends would begin to understand the power of prayer. Just because it wasn't Juanita Bynum that made this request or Bishop Noel Jones, there was no response. But to understand how powerful prayer is, how powerful a yielded vessel is when they're going before their Father and understanding that they're not going before their Father for themselves, they're going before the Father for someone else and interceding for that person. If you would understand how powerful that is, if the people that she posted that blog that saw that would understand how powerful it is, they would have every friend of a friend would have had a request come in. They would have made their request known. The season that we're in, the season that my wife and I are in, is a season of supernatural. It's a season that we've cut off our own understanding. We've cut off, how can I put it, supplying for ourselves. And we're in a place that we're walking truly by faith. The scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything that we're doing is we're doing by instruction from the Spirit of God. And we're getting to a place where I know the last 3 or 4 months, there hasn't been an income for me, but God has been supplying. He's been supplying, and he's still supplying. And he's asking us to do some things at this point that are stretching us beyond reason in my natural mind. But what he's been doing is shooting me back to Abraham and remembering the blessing that was upon Abraham. That was
right.
A blessing of possession. That was a blessing of dominion, and that was a blessing that gave so many promises. even in Galatians, I believe it's 3 and 13, Jesus says, Paul says, that the blessing of Abraham has come upon the Gentiles. So, and we
right.
receive that blessing. The 14th verse, I says, we receive that blessing of the Spirit through faith. So in this hour, in this time, this is the time that we really, as Christians, need to open up. We need to deprogram ourselves, because in Romans
right.
12 and 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable
holy.
Unto God, which is your reasonable service. The second
mm-hmm.
verse says, be not conformed
be
to
not
this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there needs
mm-hmm.
to be a renewing, a renovation of our thought process. We need to take on that mind of Christ. We need to understand
right.
that the things that we struggle with, my God, are a result of us not truly believing on the word of God, not truly walking in the fullness and the power and the anointing of what God has designed for us. Somebody hit on, I believe it was Pastor White, hit on our Father, Pater,
mm-hmm.
Abba. And when we begin to understand that relationship of a father, and Pastor Holloway, you can definitely relate to this, having children.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
want to give our children the best. Even
Absolutely.
When they don't deserve it, we want to give them the best, because as fathers,
right.
that's that natural fathering grace comes upon us to take care of, to
right.
sacrifice that we would get, that they would have the best. And when we begin to understand, again, this is a faith walk, we begin to understand the sacrifice that God made for us to have this fullness, to take dominion. You go to John 3 and 16, which is so quoted so much, we minimize and we don't give it the power that it should. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The sacrifice that God made for us through his Son, that we could walk back into fellowship with him, so that the veil of the temple would be rent, so that we would be able to come before the throne of grace and obtain mercy in the time of trouble. I just really believe that this is an hour that the people that know what I'm talking about, the scripture says the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. This is a season, this is an hour, this is a time, this is a pivotal moment, this is a kairos moment, that the people that know their God will be strong and do exploits.
Right.
And those exploits won't just be for us. See, all of these
right.
things, not just they lead up to a harvest, because the harvest truly
mm-hmm.
is plenteous, but the laborers are few. They lead
right.
up to a harvest of souls, because God is
right.
calling in those souls. Because if we look at even in the second chapter of Acts, Peter says, this is what the prophet Joel said, in the last days I pour my spirit
right.
upon all flesh, the sons and daughters will prophesy. Anyway, just to cut that short, that was almost 2,000 years ago. He was talking about
right.
the last days. So if those are the last days, these are the last days. So there
right.
is a time of acceleration. There is a time that those who yield themselves to what God is saying, that present truth, that you're going to see them explode. You're going to see a grace upon them. Because grace is not just favor. It's not just unmerited favor. It's not just what gets us saved. Grace is an empowerment that's been released
right.
through the Holy Spirit, that's been released upon us to do a work for the Lord. So you're going to see
Thank
the miracle signs and wonders. You're going to see people of God walking in the grocery stores and the whole place fall on their face, because the manifest glory is upon them so strong. And it's not because of them. It's because of God that they're going
right.
to fall on their face and say, what must I do to be saved? That's the hour that we're coming into. That's the acceleration
Amen.
That we're going to see on people that are sold out, like Pastor Holloway. And I'm not just saying that to blow smoke up, but we've had some powerful
yeah.
times in prayer and in Little Refuge
Amen.
Church. Well, there were just a few of us. But the scripture says, this is what Elisha asked of his servant. Ask God
right.
to do for his servant. When they were surrounded by, I believe, the Assyrian army, he said, Lord,
Assyrian.
Open his eyes. And when
he
opened his eyes, there were chariots of fire and angels surrounding him. So even in a situation where there may be only two of us, guess what? God has angels. He has chariots of fire. He has legions of angels there ready to be about our be about the business of the Father and to protect us in no matter what situation we're in. But that's what I'm seeing. Just in a few more minutes, I was able to kind of maybe expound on it a little bit.
Well, that's great. Go ahead, Pastor Holloway.
No, I was getting ready to say is that in addition to what you were saying, it goes back to what we were talking about on the call earlier. Number one, the apostolic and the prophetic has not been operating in ministry like it should. Number two, the people of God, as a result, because a lot of people don't understand how much order the apostle really brings. And as a matter of fact, a lot of people don't understand that there's power in the mouth of the apostle to bring judgment. It was the apostle Paul that said, "I delivered them to Satan that they might not that they may learn not to blaspheme." It was the judgment of Paul that said you shall be blind for a season. He operated in judgment right there. But see that power manifests to guard the gospel and to safeguard the saints of God.
See, and you just said a mouthful right there.
Jesus.
The apostle comes in and he represents a barrier around the body so that attacks of the enemy cannot come in. And he works in conjunction with the prophetic ministry, in which the prophetic calling has the ability to reach down in the inside of somebody and activate the arrows on the inside of them, making them to become something that they never thought possible. Seeing down on the inside of their belly what was not, and what was not manifested, but what is necessary in their season. Because when we walk in seasons, seasons are perpetual. They don't stop. And so when we begin to walk in seasons, prophets know how to come in and activate that particular manifestation because they understand now is time, because we're just waiting for the manifestation of the things that God has promised us. It's not that we're not in season. We're just waiting for the manifestation. So when those things begin to manifest, and which is spoken of through the apostles and the prophet, it further strengthens the body of Christ. They are the ones that usher people into the seasons of into the times of summonings for their lives. The problem is, the thing is because we haven't had that apostolic and that prophetic activation, we've had the saints of God. The Bible says that the enemy was going to wage war with the saints in Daniel chapter 7:25, and he was going to wear them out. And so what we're faced with now is we're faced with a bunch of people that's been worn out. If you look at society, they're worn out by their jobs. They're worn out by their kids, worn out by family, worn out by life. And a lot of people are discouraged because Hollywood has been pumping things into them and saying we should take the way that family looks on TV instead of taking it what God says. And so in people's mind, it gives them a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. And we need the apostolic and the prophetic ministries to come back in and restore that so that people can come along and to be able to, because people are just tired, they're discouraged. And people have misplaced their senses. In other words, what I'm saying is this, they've become less sensitive to the things of God and more sensitive to their feelings. So they're more easily offended today than what they used to be, because there hasn't been that apostolic or prophetic leading or direction to tell them, I need you to recenter and reassess your sensitivity and put your sensitivity back where it should be. You're being sensitive in this area, which is this the area that we should grow less in, and we should grow more in the areas where we're sensitive to God. So we need to realign our sensitivity and get back to the things of God in fasting and in prayer and empowerment, because you said something else, Prophet Ward. A good leader empowers other leaders, and you got so many people that are trying to keep things to themselves instead of building up and bracing up other leaders
and sharing. And so, you know what? Go ahead, no, continue.
I was saying, it's powerful, and just like Prophet Gray said, we are experiencing. And see, because so many people's minds have been blinded now through discouragement and despair, we cannot see that we're operating in a Kairos moment. This is that time that we should be demanding, and we can demand and receive it in this time, right now, because that's where the move of God is right now. But because it's not that season end in our lives, just like I said, it's just that the devil tried to get us to walk out of our season, and a lot of people are walking out from their seasons, and they're not receiving the blessing, and they're frustrated.
And I hear that. And you know what? The season that we are in, I just believe as well. I know I have been, you know, when I look at the Bible, and I remember Father Gray was talking about, you know, this powerful move and this salvific move that God is ushering in through his people. I wholeheartedly believe that is true, that these are some times of refreshing. And like you were saying, you know, Pastor Holloway, that we really just have to know that the world is in despair, but we are never in despair. You know what
right.
I'm saying? We are never in despair. You know, who in their right mind would defy the people of God? I mean, who in their
mm-hmm.
right mind would defy us, who would come against us? And we have a God who is the creator God. And I think sometimes we don't emphasize that principle, because in the Jewish context, they had the different permutations of the name of God. And we know that four-letter name of God, the Tetragrammaton or the Tetragrammaton, however they want to pronounce that, but the YHVH. And no one really knows the real spelling or pronunciation of the holy and divine
yes.
name of God. But what we have committed
right.
to us from posterity, you know, we go with the YHVH, and it's usually Yahweh, but there were different permutations of that name to represent that God can transfigure himself to be whatever it is that we need to be, whatever it is that God said, well, who are you? Who shall I tell them sent me? He says, you know, I am that I am. Tell them that I am that I am sent me. That means I'm the self-existent one. Some translate that Eshehi, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I know that's in the Hebrew. They'll write that out in there, Eshehi, Eshehi, and I'm probably jacking that pronunciation up, but they translate that the self-existent one. You know, Yahweh, who is
right.
this I am that I am, Yahweh? I am the self-existent one who wills all things to be. I don't need anybody. I don't need anything outside of me. I am the first, the last. I am it. So everything starts with me. It ends with me. It begins with me. So, and I think having a revelation of that, the more we fast and pray and go back to those basics, like you hit on the fasting and prayer, I'm in the process of really disciplining myself to get back into a heavy lifestyle of fasting and prayer. And actually, I get the phone tonight, I'm going to pray and I'm going to repent to God and say, God, you know, get me just back on focus with some things, because we just get off focus. And a lot of the time, I was going full speed with the Lord. I mean, I was going full speed with the Lord. I mean, I would walk the presence of the Lord. When you are in the Lord, you can walk in a room and people will automatically get upset with you, because they can feel the presence of God. They can feel conviction. So when you walk into
right.
the room with the presence of God on you, people can feel conviction. And what happens is they feel that conviction, and those that want to fight it now become your enemy instantaneously. But the devil is a lie. And when they pick up in your spirit that you don't care if they are angry with you, if they are mad with you, if they are upset, but you're going to submit to this anointing that's on my life, because you're really not that bad and that powerful. So you might as well just drink some prune juice, suck that up, and go ahead to the bathroom and let that go. And so when they realize that you really don't care what they have to say, what they do, how they feel, now you just made enemies, just like Jesus did, just by being on the scene and just by opening up your mouth because of the authority that's on you. And I believe that this level of God, that's a level of authority that we're going to come in. And like we got, you know, Patrick left his job and he's doing some things. And we see, you know, and you're over there, you know, I say fighting the good fight of faith, because, you know, you're over there, you know, ministering and doing your thing in the atmospheric regions. I just think, and I just know that this is the season that God is going to bless. And I'm asking God, you know, like Prophetess Arthur said, we got to be strategic in our prayers and what we say. But I know I'm believing God for the supernatural. And I'm believing God, you know, we got white brothers and sisters, Spanish brothers and sisters. I would love to be, we're in the same atmosphere and got different colors and different ethnicities and the same spirit, the same Lord, one faith, one spirit, the same God is working through us, the same God is manifesting
right.
his miracles, the same God is moving through us, and we can all come together and just praise the Lord. I'm looking for that
right.
day as well, because it's not here, and the church at large
right.
still has to deal with that racism, because we see across
right.
across the gambit. You know, we see it.
Right.
You know, white people are more prone to go to it. They'll go to and sit under a white pastor. but there you don't see that many white people sitting under or submitting themselves to a black pastor. And then with black people, we're more prone to go to a church that has a white pastor sometimes in certain areas due to notoriety or due to size than we are to go to a pastor, let's say, that, you know, how we do in the black diaspora, we'll call it, you know, they're struggling or they're doing this or doing this, because, you know, we get, like Pastor White put it, he said consumer-minded. So I don't want to go to your church, though this might be a man that's starting a church and might be coming from the ground up, or a woman and coming from the ground up. They might have the deliverance in their belly that you need, but we want to go somewhere where we can just be a number and sit down and hide. And so that's why a lot of people don't go to a lot of these smaller churches, but it's a trick of the enemy, because smaller churches – and in the smaller groups of people in the smaller churches, it's like what Fred Price said some years back. He said he loved it when he had a smaller church because he was seeing angels, the signs and wonders was manifesting, because it wasn't that the larger the church, the greater the potentiality for a lack of faith. And we know the Bible says of Jesus, there were some things he could not do because of the faith of the people, because the people that were there. And so the smaller ministry had a purpose. They had a mission that big ministries sometimes cannot fulfill. Smaller churches at times are launching pads and launching grounds. I would not be where I'm at today if it had not been, like Pastor Holloway, a church like yours, if it had not been a pastor who told me to work my word and to qualify your word. Just don't quote scriptures. Find me three or four other scriptures that qualify what you just said out of your mouth, or shut up, or go and pray this one and work the altar and work the altar, work the altar. Pray, work the altar, cast that out. Go get that trash can. We're going to be here for a while. Take them in the prayer room. Or learn your word. If I had not learned that stuff in the smaller churches, what we call the storefront churches or the smaller churches, you know, I would not be out here able to do and able to minister to the nation to do the things that I'm doing now. And the devil has made it, it's just a trick of the enemy to deceive the body of Christ that the big churches and the mega churches are it. When the local church is where your pastor can identify you, where God can readily identify you and say, I know who you are. I have watched you. You know what I'm saying? Almost like he addressed those churches in the book of Revelation. Well, God can say, you know what? I know you. I see you. I can see your works. I can see where you're messing up. I can correct you. Look, let me use this pastor. And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to let somebody else jump in here. One thing that you were saying about the apostolic and prophetic that the Lord it kind of just dropped in my spirit when you said that. He brought, when you're talking about the apostolic and prophetic in the churches, he brought up the situation with Moses. And now with Moses, and when I was looking at that in my head, it was flipping back and forth how Moses manifested any gift of the Spirit. So we know if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God can manifest any gift of the Spirit. But one thing, as you were talking about the apostolic, God was telling me that he allows, if you have a pastor who is really in tune with God, that he will allow. It's funny how you can have a pastor who can represent, or who can, I call it phase shift, or who can phase shift in and out of the character of all the fivefold ministries. So you can have a pastor, but if their heart is next to the heart of God, God will have that pastor, God will give that pastor's heart an apostolic nature, where that pastor will be able to operate out of, he will be able to manifest the qualities or the nature of an apostle to that church, because they need a manifestation of all the gifts. And so this is where you have pastors who are confused, because one moment they think they're an apostle, one moment they think they're an evangelist, one moment they're phasing in and out of the different anointings, not understanding that God is using them as a tool in his hand so he can meet every need of the people that are there.
Right.
And this is where a lot of confusion I think comes into. You know, am I an apostle? Am I this? You know, you see a pastor today, they're an apostle tomorrow. You know, you see a prophet, you know, they're a minister today, they're a prophet the next day, apostle the next day. You know, we got a lot of women who have, go ahead.
I say bishop.
I mean, but you know what I'm saying? It's just you see this and somebody just needs to bring that in and say, you know, if you are a pastor, God will give you and equip you. I've had pastors that operated in retrospect and looking, they operated in some great apostolic anointings and covering. Especially, you know, some of the bishops and some of the pastors. And I think that's also in an area where we have a lot of females. I think this is something in this day that we see. There are a lot of females who have strong prophetic anointings, and I think they miss the mark in not understanding that the woman is so engineered and by nature. God has built them to be able to operate at that gift at a level that men, we just can't operate in it, in that level.
Right.
But God has gifted us to operate in the prophetic at a level that women cannot. And I think a lot of women who operate in that strong prophetic anointing get confused because now they think they're an apostle because they're following this new age spirit. and they call themselves an apostle or this, that, and the other. And it's like, now you're out of your gift and out of your lane, and now can you actually reach the full gambit of people you were supposed to reach, because we want titles and position, and we don't really want an authentic anointing.
Can I just add to that? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just getting ready to say it affects the anointing on your life, you know, because now you're operating illegally. If you're not operating where God has you operating in, you're operating illegally anyway, and so now you run the risk of becoming a diviner, you know what I mean, or operating in witchcraft.
Right.
If you set yourself up for attacks. Exactly. You're going to get the attack that apostles get. You're going to have to fight a war that the apostles fight. You're going to have to pray the prayer that the apostles pray. You're going to have to pass the prayer that the apostles fast. You know? And, but like I said, it's all illegal. You know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the one thing I also see, I think, Prophet Ward, you hit something that was key. As my wife and I both be ordained prophets, there's a definite difference. Obviously, God made us different, but there's a definite difference in, I would say, levels in concentration of our gift. Because my wife can see under your closet. I mean, under your bed. That's just what God has given her. Now, don't get me wrong. I might give you a little bit more. I might be a little bit more general. And when God does give me something, I mean, just pinpoint, accurate, specific. But my grace is a stronger deliverance and a greater authority, I would say, in the spirit realm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay. Because there's ways that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No,
I couldn't hear you.
No. No, if you can continue, I just said directive and creative anointing, but go ahead.
Oh, directive. Okay. Well, that's how it comes out. But it just seems like she operates in a more, I guess, I'm almost going to say a more accurate, a more specific gift, and God has given me an authority. Do you know what I mean? To begin to shake the atmosphere, to begin to bind and loose. It's funny because the scripture says, you know, we prophesy in part. She sees one part of the puzzle. I see the other part, and my part always seems to be to break it and to loose. Do you know what I mean? To loose that stronghold, to hit that stronghold. Because there's times when we see two different people. She, you know, she's going to see the mothering, lovering. So I'm going to say, well, you got to deal with that devil right there first, though. You got to deal with that lust spirit. You guys deal with that rebellion. God has given me the ability to pinpoint onto those things, to break those bonds, so that whatever the gift that's inside of that person, whatever that destiny is, these hindering demons, because those things are hindering, those spirits of rebellion. Rebellion has a sin of witchcraft, and each spirit begins to open up another door to get you farther and farther and farther and farther away from the plan of what God truly has into you. And I guess that's what I see when we operate as a team. And I know it's interesting, you know, God really has ordained that we be a team ministry, a true team ministry. It's interesting.
Right.
I even think there's times when, okay, I'm by myself. It doesn't seem like I'm complete. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
When I'm ministering,
sure. I know what you're talking about. I feel the same way too sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But I understand that we both have our separate, you know, our separate anointing and our separate ministry. But we're most effective as a team.
Right, right. You're better together, and I've found that to be so too, in a lot of areas with my wife as well. You know, I'm beginning to use her gifts more and more that are on the inside of her. Because she has strong discerning abilities, and she's got a strong prophetic ability as well, where just like you, what you were saying, Prophet Patrick, I can see things, and sometimes my sight is general, and whereas my wife, she'll pinpoint a thing, and then there are times where and it depends on the way that the Holy Spirit wants to flow and use me. he'll call me to accurately use things. And sometimes the word is to the house. It's a prophetic word to the house. Sometimes the word is to individuals, to people individually. Sometimes he'll have me pray prophetic prayers over people's lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. Sometimes there are the times that my wife is seeing things on from a different side or a different angle than what I'm able to pick up, and she's able to go in and really begin to root out some things, and I thank God for what he's doing in her life and how he's using her and bringing her along. I'm really excited about this day that we're in. I'm excited about the generation that God is raising up right now, and I'm excited that our eyes are able to see it. The things that God is really, the pieces that God is putting in place, and from where he's calling people from, and so the people that he's had on the backside of the mountain or in the cave of Adullam for so many years, that he's been grooming them for kingdom authority. And he's been the people that he's been grooming for the throne that have not seen it yet, and I love the fact that God has placed his mark on those people's lives, and the ones that people most think that are the ones that are most or what God would use are completely different. For he has taken the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, things to confound those things which are strong. And out of the mouth of faith, thou hast ordained strength.
You know what?
The folks that are on the backside of the mountain.
Right. I'm sorry. Can I say this real quick? And then I'm gonna say this. I'll let y'all share. I just heard the word of the Lord. I just saw your wife here, and the Lord. I'm just want to say this, and you can say this. I just saw your wife, and I saw her smiling. And I heard the Lord say your wife is a key to some acceleration that's going to happen in your ministry in this period of time. And he said you hit on it, even you identify. And he said you've known for a long time that your wife has had a prophetic anointing and that she could see. But
Amen.
This has been something that has plagued her in time past and it's even confused or frustrated her. And she did not feel like going forth in it. But God says in this season, he's going to release that. He's just going to make that to be revealed. And it's going to be more bolder. But it's going to be a key also in your relationship, because God says some of the attacks that you have been getting and some of the attacks that have been happening, God says your wife is going to be a buffer. Your wife's her prophetic eye and her prayers are going to be able to stop the enemy in their tracks. And because she's going to walk in this bold prophetic anointing, and because she's going to walk in this at another level, and she's going to see it full circle, and things are going to happen, and she's going to understand the purpose of it. She's going to see the power of it, even behind the scenes, as she uses it more and more and more. She's going to understand that God has gifted me with this gift to help out the apostle, the man of God. And as she prays, she's going to be able to see the enemy and how it's going to stop the enemy. And as she prays and uses this prophetic eagle eyesight to stop the enemy, because she's going to use this sight in the prophetic to be able to, in the spirit, to be able to pray behind the scenes. And what's going to happen is she's going to stop the enemy in his tracks. She's going to prevent some things from happening to the ministry. And what's going to happen in the spirit realm, it's going to allow you to catapult forward. So some things that have been either frustrating or hard in the past, by her tapping into this anointing, it's going to seem easier, and some things are going to be a whole lot smoother, and some things are just going to happen a whole lot quicker. And God says to tell her also, she does not need to worry about it. Do not compare herself to any first lady, to any other woman of God in the area, for she's the first lady in her own right. I see her smiling. I see her glowing. I see her with a smile that kind of radiates and glows. It's almost like she can light up the room when she just smiles, because there's a warmth and a grace about her. And she is a daughter of Sarah. So God says, do not worry about it. And do not compare herself with anybody, for she shines all by herself. But in this season, there's going to be acceleration in the ministry that's connected to the anointing, because it is a season for your wife. God, it's like God has said, tag, you're it. Tag, you are it. Tag, you are it. I'm pulling you out. All eyes are on you, and it is your time and your season. It's as if he's just pulling her out and saying, it's your time and it's your season. And as that happens, it's going to be a different union. You're going to see it in the relationship. You're going to see it behind the scenes. Not there's anything bad, but you're just going to be able to see that acceleration. You're just going to feel that burden in the spirit. It's just going to feel a little bit lighter for you in certain areas and certain problems. And you're going to feel a whole another season or a whole another level of faith come upon you. I know it's bold in services now, and I know some things are happening, but the Lord, I see your wife walking through the service. The Lord says, wait until she's loose in this thing. She's going to be able to compliment you in a way that you didn't even dream, that you didn't even think about. He's going to release this anointing in her. She's not even going to be prepared for this anointing. You know, deliver, you know. Now, I know she walks in some things, but I see her mightily. I see her laying hands. I see her walking in that deliverance to a strong degree, and it's almost effortlessly. It's almost effortless. There's not a lot of prayer. There's not a lot of travailing, but there's a lot of decreeing. And this is the word of the Lord, and come here and lay hands. And it's not a travailing thing, you know, as some would pray, and travail and travail. But it's going to be an easy thing for her, says the Lord. She's going to pray, and she's just going to walk up, and she's going to lay hands, and God is going to fall, and God is going to descend. And it's going to be a quick word. It's not going to be nothing. And God says, because it's a gift. And he says, it's a gift that he's given to her, and he's transmitted to her. And it's going to be a quick thing. It's nothing that you're going to have to work for. God's going to make some things in this season for you. And I don't know, only you know what you do behind the scenes and what's going on, if it's business, if it's land. Because there's been some tie-ups with some land. And I don't know what you've been praying, but God is about to go in the atmospheric region. There's been some demonic tie-ups with some land. There's even been some men and women of God who've been doing some hindering things behind the scenes. I don't know if there's pastors, almost as it were, who have a political position or have some connections in the city to real estate or in some political position in the city, but it's almost as if some people have been literally, you know, doing some things and leaving you out the loop. It's almost like you've been left out the loop intentionally by those or people who should have pulled you in and should have revealed some things to you. But the Lord says, you don't even worry about that, but I'm going to reveal some things to you. And he said, you continue to decree and declare, because what I have for you, he says, in this season, he's going to go before you like fire. Do not worry about what they tried to keep from you. Do not worry about what they said no to. God says, what I have for you is yours. And in the atmospheric realms right now, as you decree and you declare land and you declare for God to build, there are angels and going out. They are measuring out the dimensions of the land. They are measuring out the dimensions for the work and for the land and for the building and everything that you envision and ask God for. And God says, you ain't even got to detail it. When you ask for it, God says, I know your thoughts before you even know them. He says, I'm going to make this thing easy for you because of the work and because of the scope and the purpose on your life. And God says, yes, there is healing anointing on your life, and that has been revealed, but it's going to be increased even more in this season. He's going to increase these signs and wonders. And God says, yes, man of God, it will not stop, for it will get greater, 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 greater. But what shall I do with this anointing? What shall I do with this calling? I have a small church, it seems that you say. I don't have that many people. You know, God, I'm just here in this area. What would you have me to do? God says, continue to pray, continue to release that anointing, and continue to pray that I send you workers, that I send you workers. So in this season, tell that anointing. God says, pray that I send you workers, pray that I send you workers. And God's going to open up some doors. And God says, I'm going to open up some doors for an evangelistic anointing. God says, open up doors. There's going to be some doors open to do some evangelistic things in the area. God says, this is a Kairos moment and season. It's a Kronos period of time, but a Kairos moment and season in the spirit for evangelism, that he is allowed to be locked up to certain people, but he's opening up this window. So every opportunity that you have to descend to the Lord, take that opportunity to begin to do some outreach programs and to begin to go into the community to preach that gospel, for the harvest is out there and they will begin to come in. And it is to this end that you've been travailing and you have been preparing and you are ready. For when they come in, it will be a quick work already. It will be a quick work. You will be able to teach them and impart to them. And God will release that gift of that anointing, the fullness of that anointing of that teacher in your wife. For she is a powerful woman of God. She has revelation from the Lord, and God is going to allow her to be able to take the prophetic and to take that in evangelistic outreach and that nurturing motherly spirit and combine it to be a powerful teacher and to help you and to assist you in this work, says the Spirit of the Lord. And she is keeping this acceleration. God says, there is acceleration on your ministry in the area. And God says, decree it and say it. I am cleaning up the atmosphere. I'm cleaning up the area. That region is about to be cleaned up in the Spirit of the Lord. And you are key to making that happen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You are in there, because I just gave his wife the same word back in January. So you in there.
I just had to, that was just on the mind. I just had to kind of just get that off. When you y'all was talking about it, I forgot it. But
hallelujah.
I feel cheated.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You wrong. Prophet Grayson, he said he felt cheated. got issues. Wow. Lord help mercy. It's man, I'm happy now because I know there's some stuff about to happen in the area in Racine. It's been a work. You've been there plowing and digging and digging. Nobody has done. I see, and I can hear that. Nobody has taken the time to dig, to dig, to dig, to dig. Everybody wants to come and superficially plant, but God has said you have dug and you have dug and dug and dug and dug and dug, and you have dug a foundation. And now that foundation is ready to build and to hold up the weight of the edifice in the anointing that He's about to allow you to build in that area. And He's opening up some doors for you. These are key periods of time. These are some prophetic doors that need to be walked in. And He's going to let you know. I'm excited for that area because it's about time. And it's about time. And I know some stuff. I'm excited for the area.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
Praise God. I am too, Doc. I'm excited, man. I'm excited about what God is doing.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Sorry.
Well, we got about 18 minutes left. I know we done took this after show. It's gonna be the after show. I'm just thinking they want to practice to get the after show.
Praise
this is the prophetic after show. So they got to you get it, man. And what I just found out. Go ahead, Pastor.
I was just asking. You got that recorded, right?
This is recording. Yes, this is recording. I will. What I can do this show. Because this is the first show that I've done. I recorded a little bit after. The show was 2 hours long, but it continues to record for an hour. So after 2 hours, it stops going live. But if you have a Blog Talk account, you can still hear it, but it will record an hour extra. So this will be almost like a 6 hour show, and I'll download it and save it to MP3 and see if I can send it to you. Or you can do it yourself. After when we end this show, if you give it about 15 or 20 minutes, you'll be able to go. You should be able to go back here and download the show. Once you see the show is up, you should be able to find it and download the MP3.
Amen. Absolutely, will do. Now, I want you all to know I'm excited and I appreciate the insights that you all have shared. It's been some great insights. You know,
it's been the bomb. We need to do this. I think this is awesome. I wish I could have had Pastor White back on. I wish I could have kept him on because I know he would have loved to have jumped in, and it would just been awesome with Pastor White on here, and we just, man, just get into it. But I'm glad this happened because I really wanted – I felt I was going kind of fast, and I knew I was because – and that's kind of my fault because I started the show late. But you know, God is good, and we just move and go with the flow. Is there anything else that we want to put out there? And we can make this happen. I know folks got services and stuff to go to for tomorrow. But I just say I am thoroughly – I'm really thoroughly excited. The enemy tries to crush and do what he does, but there are, you know, if we look in the spirit, there are churches that have maybe, if you have maybe 20 members, but your church can hold more weight in the spirit realm than a church with 1,000 members who don't pray, who are not doing anything. They're just all gift, teeth, and tongue, but they ain't got nothing going on. And so it's in the spirit. It's looking at your, I just like to look, and I'm trying to do that now. I'm trying to continuously look at my ministry, take a picture in the spirit, because like I told y'all, one of the board members, Prophetess Heard, and her husband, Apostle Heard, I've known them for years, but for her, she's like, they're high caliber people, and I hold them in great regard with me because I know their integrity, and I know they hear the voice of the Lord and their integrity, and they walk this thing out, and their acts show it, and for her to say, you know, when you get people who are your colleagues, and when they say great things about you, and you know that they know what it is to walk where you've walked or to do what you're doing, it just encourages you and it helps you to go on that much more.
Amen. Amen. You need that.
I think we do. And I think it helps. And that's why I'm glad stuff like this, just, you know, everybody just get on and just encourage everybody. We just have an encouragement show. Just be like, call into the show tonight. We're going to encourage your socks off. Dial.
That's right.
Just going to encourage your socks off. But all right, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you. I need to bring everybody back and do some separate shows. So now you guys know I want to bring it back and talk about this third watch with Prophet Gray. I want to talk about get y'all back on here and talk about that third watch. I want to talk about teen ministry again, too. Talk about that and get more into the supernatural. Pastor Holloway, we need to put you on Sid Roth.
right.
I need to get on Sid Roth, right? Okay, so
that's right.
Ain't that right? I mean, I'm serious. You don't see,
yes.
You see a lot of black people on Sid Roth, but you don't see that many, but you see some fluff on there. Not just black people, but you do see some people that have situations. You're like, okay, I see why you're on the program. But then you see some other people on there, and it's like, okay, you need to go have a seat. So,
he would be good on that program.
I see him doing that, too. You know what?
Yeah.
Don't play. Don't play, Pastor Holloway, because I might call you one day and look, be like, send me a bio. I'm seriously, that's how I got my pastor on TBN like some years ago. I just thought he should be on there. And I got his bio and stuff, and we sent the packet down to TBN. But I think that would be nice. I mean, you know, writing your test, a little bit about your testimony and your biography, and just being able to put a picture there, your official picture. and put that in there and send it up and say, man, you know, and with a letter of recommendation or something, they probably never got that. You see what I'm saying? They probably never gotten a packet with somebody's information with the letters of recommendation saying, look, this man of God, this, that, the third, and blah, blah, blah. But it's something different. I think that would be good because people need to hear that. Because this is for the supernatural. The supernatural is supposed to be natural to us. Seeing angels,
right.
Dealing with demons, this is natural. Seeing people heal.
Right.
You know, I see people heal and people say, oh, my gosh, I couldn't believe it. Well, that's your problem. You couldn't believe it in the first
place.
This is supposed to be natural.
Right.
I couldn't believe God. Oh, my God. I could not believe God. Well, you just pinpointed your problem, your faith. Go read your Bible and then you come back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We gotta believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. In
not
my name.
That are ordained. You know, some people believe that. Some people believe that scripture reads, signs and wonders shall follow, these signs and wonders shall follow them that are ordained, them that call themselves apostles, them that have the title, this, that, and the other. That's not what the Bible said.
Right. He said them that believe.
Them that believe with your great self,
right.
With your art. Right.
The scripture says that all things are possible to them that believe. Them.
To them that
them.
Believe.
Them.
To them,
them.
That
all
believe.
Things.
All
mm-hmm.
things. And
so
I'm about to get started, man. I was excited because, and you know, it's exciting to know that God speaks when God speaks to you. You know, that's an exciting thing because it's just amazing that a lot of the things that we talked about, you know, or that were mentioned on a show, we were all able to be in agreement with. As a matter of fact, some of the things that were being said were places just like God had showed me where we were. We're in a Kairos moment, you know, and it's just amazing, you know, to be tapped in and to know other men of God are hearing the same thing, you know, it's a blessing. But it's all in agreement, you know. It's the spirit of agreement and the spirit of unity. So that's awesome. And I've loved this show tonight. I've really enjoyed myself.
I enjoyed myself too, and I think it's the bomb. Just fellowshipping over the word.
Over the word.
Well, I'm gonna let y'all go. If there's anything else, I'm gonna let you go. To those that have been listening, I'm gonna let everybody go. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. I'm gonna get with you guys later. I want to thank you for being on.
Prophet Ward. Prophet Ward. I don't want to, you know what, we are in such a time of evangelism. I know that there's only a few minutes left, but every opportunity that we have, I really believe that you need to reach out to souls. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's just a quick altar call, a quick prayer of faith for salvation. I believe that would be in order, if you don't mind.
Well, you can do, that's too easy. You can make that happen, and that'll be something that I can probably institute, and I think you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right because this goes across. We have 10 minutes left, and that's something that I need to add to the formatic, and I can add that into every show. And you're absolutely right. I'm glad you mentioned that because, see, sometimes we forget and we need to be reminded that we do need to take every opportunity, especially in media, that we have to say, look, if you don't know Jesus, then you need to do this. And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to let you take that and do what you need to do with that. If anybody is listening and you need Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you need Jesus. If you have Jesus and you haven't had the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues, to be able to manifest the power of God, that is the power to do miracles, the power to resist sin, the power to go out and show the proofs and the works of the ministry of Jesus Christ in your life. And that Spirit helps you to live holy. And so I think you should have that. And it's a gift, and you can just receive it. And so I'm going to tag it over to Prophet Gray to minister to you at this time.
You've heard all the things that we've talked about on tonight. And for some of us, it may be hard to believe. But as Prophet Ward mentioned, it's the norm. It should be the norm. You've been programmed by TV. You may be in a position where you don't believe anybody loves you. But the scripture says that, lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the earth. You need to understand that God sent his very best for you. He sent the very best. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. And whoever you are out there that don't know God, you're part of that world. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That may only seem like words to you at this point. You may not have ever experienced a love so complete. Not the love that we think of, that erotic love, but it's an unconditional love. It's a love of the Father. It's a love that says that no matter what you've done, I still love you, and I'm here, and I don't want you to perish. If the words that we've spoken on tonight have touched your heart, or even the things that I'm mentioning right now have pricked your heart, have brought you to a place to say that, you know, I need the Lord. I need to walk in that power. I need to experience this unconditional love. Because, you know, in our relationships, there's people that may have said that they loved us in the past. It may have been your parents. It may have been a friend, a relative. It may have been a lover. But it seems like the love that they said they had for you caused pain. I'm here to let you know that God loves you with an unconditional love. And he doesn't want you to perish. He wants you to have an abundant life. He said he sent his son that you might have life, and that more abundantly. If that's you, it's so simple to enter into the kingdom. In Romans 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's really simple. Wherever you are, whether you're in your living room, in your car, next to your computer room, all you have to do is pray this simple prayer with me. All you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me for the things that I've done. And just repeat those simple words. Lord, forgive me for the things that I've done. Father, I believe on today that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you've raised him from the dead. And Father, on today, I ask that you save me, that you deliver me, and that you set me free. If you prayed that simple prayer with me, guess what? You're into the kingdom. Guess what? God is forgiving your sins. He's washed them away. The scripture says that he throws your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. The enemy will try to bring those things back up, but guess what? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and all things have become new on today. So the only other thing that I say is find yourself, wherever area you're in, a nice Bible-believing church, so that not only can you walk in salvation, but you can learn how to walk this thing out. So you can next receive that baptism of the Holy Ghost as stated in Acts, the second chapter. Thank you, Prophet Ward, for giving me that chance just to...
Well, no problem, and you're absolutely right. You know, that's why I encourage people to just say what's on their mind. I mean, who'd have never known? You know, I would have never, you know, added it to the show if had nobody told me that, hey, this is a perfect opportunity to add this to every show. So now I'm looking forward to adding that to every show and just allowing people to have that invitation, because ultimately that is what it is about. That is what it is about, you know. So encouraging the saints, and we can reach both groups. Encourage the saints through the word, and encouraging them and amplifying their understanding, revelation of the word, and equipping them, but also speaking to those who may not have Jesus, who hear something and that helps them. Well, look, this is how you come into the kingdom. This is what will help you out. I want to thank you guys for being on. I thank you for being on the show, Prophetess Archer, Prophetess Gray. I want to thank you. You guys be blessed, and I'm going to have you back on.
All right.
Right. All right.
Thank you. Blessed. Enjoy your night.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
All right. I want to, this has been the after show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. This has been just an awesome show. We've done the after show. This is about a 3-hour show here. So I just want to thank you for listening. Look, this show has been a blessing. Look, just please, just fax this, not fax it, but put a link on this to someone else's page or Facebook or on Twitter. I send messages out on Twitter and on Facebook, as well as on Blog Talk. And look, I'm recording the show, so people can just tune in whenever if it's helped you. You can go back, check the logs. I want to thank you. Be blessed for listening. I hope you've heard something that has helped you in here. If you heard that prayer and you received Christ, if you're listening to this, well, then I'm glad for you. Look, you find a Bible-believing church, get you a copy of the Bible, and then you can just tie in, to so many avenues for the word to be brought across. This radio program, if you really need to, you can email me. Go to pcjg-ministries.com and just send me an email. And if you need some information, I can connect you with Prophet Gray, or I can just send you some information that will help you on your way. If you heard any information you want more information about, send us an email and let us know. I want you to be blessed, and you have been listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio broadcast with your host, Calvin Ward. Till next time. I'm just going to come in on this, and you are healed in Jesus' name. Y'all, have a good night. Joy.